Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Esther Screen Guild play tonight, My Life with Carolyn. The starring players,
this is Brian Ahern.
This is Mary Esther.
This is Alan Jocelyn.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in RKO Radio Pictures' delightful comedy of marital hijinks, My Life with Carolyn. It stars Mary Esther as Carolyn, Brian Ahern as her long-suffering husband, Anthony, and Alan Jocelyn as the other man. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in My Life with Carolyn.
My Life with Carolyn is the story of a man whose wife had an incurable urge to romance. As a matter of fact, my wife fell in love with every man she met.
Oh, that sounds bad, Mr. Mason.
Well, maybe it was every other man. You see, Carolyn had a complex. She emotionalized the role that a woman is supposed to play in a man's life, and consequently, she was a sucker for any man with a weakness that needed overcoming.
Then she must originally have fallen in love with you because of some weakness.
Oh, yes, she did. And it was wonderful while it lasted.
Your romance?
No, my lumbago.
Oh.
That was my weakness. But after it got better, the trouble really started. But nothing daunted, I evolved a little stunt that eventually enabled me to cure my wife completely.
Completely?
Completely. She'll never again think that she's in love with another man.
Well, tell us, how did you work it?
Oh, my trick was quite simple. You see, whenever Carolyn went away on a vacation, she always fancied herself in love with some man who seemingly needed her. And I could always expect a wire saying she was flying back to see me. But last winter, I pulled the trick that cured her. Counting on the element of surprise, I flew to her. It was while she was vacationing in Miami with her father. I was working in my New York office.
Mr. Mason.
Yes?
Your father-in-law is calling you from Miami, Florida.
Oh, put him on. Hello, Father.
Anthony, did you get a wire from Carolyn saying that she was flying to New York to see you?
Yeah, just now. When's she leaving?
Not till tomorrow morning.
Fine. I think I'll beat her to the punch. I'll take the plane for Miami this afternoon.
Good idea.
Who is it this time?
Oh, a sculptor named Paul Martindale. They were dancing the other night and he fainted. That got her. Then he convinced her that she could be his inspiration, the guiding light that will lead him to artistic glory, unquote.
So now she wants to be a guiding light, eh?
Remember last time when it was a poet and she was a torch in the wilderness?
Yeah, seems your daughter is very inflammable. Well, that's my life with Carolyn. Thanks for calling, Father. Hold the fort for me. I'll arrive in a few hours. Cleared for action.
Before we go to the airport, Carolyn, you must set the date of our marriage.
I've told you a dozen times, Paul. I'll marry you just as soon as I arrive and can get my husband's consent.
What happens if you can't get Anthony to consent?
Oh, Father.
Well, surely you wouldn't let selfishness interfere with Carolyn's happiness.
Father's just being difficult. He likes Anthony.
I didn't like him well enough to marry him.
Well, I should hope not.
Carolyn did. But what I'm wondering is how Anthony will feel about all this.
Oh, what possible difference can that make?
Well, we'll soon find out. Look out the window. Coming up the driveway.
Oh, Anthony.
Huh? You mean...
My husband.
My gosh.
Should I pick him up or just sweep him under the rug?
Don't be crude, Father. Help him up.
Oh, anyone home?
Straighten up, Paul. How do you feel?
Terrible. I don't know what to say.
How about goodbye?
Oh, where is everyone?
Coming, Anthony. He may be unreasonable, so let me handle this, Paul.
All right, now back you up in everything you say.
Yeah, in fact, he'll stand right behind you.
Father.
Oh, it's unbelievable. This is positively unbelievable.
What?
My reaction to your vacations, darling. Why, whenever I see you after you've been away, it's love at first sight all over again. here, let me kiss you.
Anthony! We're not alone.
Huh? Oh, hello, Father.
Oh, hello, Anthony. This is Paul Martindale.
Oh, hello, Mr. Martindale. I'm sure you don't object to seeing a man kiss his wife, do you?
Well, yeah, I mean, no.
Paul's a wonderful sculptor. He works very hard.
Ah, always chiseling, eh?
Yes, I do.
Don't mind Anthony's bad jokes, Paul. He doesn't understand art.
Oh, that's not true, Paul. Why, I was the first man in New York to hang a calendar upside down and take a prize in an exhibit of modernistic art.
I think I see what you mean.
Well, are you married, Paul?
Well, no, not yet.
Oh, you mean you're going to be?
Well, I think so. At least, I hope so.
Of course you are, Paul.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Paul's engaged to a married woman.
He is? Brave man. I hope her husband's a poor shot, Paul.
A poor... Well, you think he might shoot me?
Well, you can never tell about husbands. That new lipstick tastes much better, dear.
Anthony!
Well, I hope her husband is more broad-minded than I. But just in case he isn't, what flowers would you prefer, Paul?
Oh, I like chrysanthemum. Are you a good shot?
Well, hate to boast, and I probably slipped a little, but I used to be the best shot at the Rod and Gun Club. Oh, boy, how I used to bag those ducks.
Ducks?
What happened? Did I say something?
Well, Paul's allergic to water.
Water? Where's the water?
Nowhere. It's suggestion. You know, psychology.
No, as a matter of fact, I don't know psychology.
Well, then that's it, all right. You see, you mentioned ducks. Ducks suggest water, and water makes Paul faint. Isn't it simple?
What happened? Where am I?
You're right here among friends. It seems I mentioned that I was a duck hunter. I better not say that again, or he'll start bouncing.
Well, one of you helped me lift him up.
I picked him up the last time.
Don't tell me that this is a habit.
I'm awfully sorry. I think I'd better go now.
I think so, too. I'll help you to the door, Paul.
Oh, thank you. Awfully nice to have met you, Anthony.
Oh, thanks. Hurry back, Caroline, sweetie.
Yes, dear. Coming, Paul?
Do you suppose Anthony knows about us?
Oh, how could he?
He looked awfully suspicious, and the way he talked about shooting, I didn't like that. I can't help it if I'm sensitive. An artist must be.
I know, Paul.
And I deeply resent the idea of your being under the same roof alone with him.
Don't worry. I'll tell him about us the moment I go back in.
Yes, don't.
Oh, but I thought you wanted...
Yes, but if Anthony doesn't agree to free you, what if he comes to my place and shoots me?
Oh, Anthony's very conservative. He wouldn't dream of shooting you before I called you. It wouldn't be polite.
Oh, well, I suppose it's something to know that you'll be murdered politely.
As a matter of fact, I think it's very romantic.
Yes, but I'll be politely dead, too, you know.
Well, in that case, I'll go into deep mourning for a year.
Yes, that'll teach him a lesson.
Certainly will. I bet he'll think twice before he shoots another man over me.
Shoots another...
Oh, dear. There he goes again. Now what did I say?
She has him back on his feet, and he's leaving.
Well, come back from the window before she looks up and sees you.
Oh, by the way, thanks for calling me, Father. But now that I'm here, I still don't quite know what to do about this Paul matter.
Well, just make certain that she doesn't get a chance to bring up the subject of divorce before she's accustomed to having you around again, that's all.
I hope you're right.
Well, I know I'm right. Oh, here she comes. I'll duck out and leave you alone.
Anthony, didn't you get my wire saying that I was flying to see you in New York?
Yes, darling, I did. And it made me so happy that I decided to fly to you instead. Aren't you glad?
Why, yes. I believe I am.
Ah, Carolyn, I believe I'm more in love with you than ever.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about,
oh,
Anthony.
Look, I brought you a diamond merit badge for your years of faithful service.
Merit badge?
Well, brooch then, if you must quibble.
Oh, Anthony, you shouldn't.
Why shouldn't I? Why, you're my wife, Carolyn. Or had you forgotten?
I told you, that's what I want to talk to you about.
I'm glad you do, darling. The words sort of feel good in my mouth. My wife, Carolyn. Carolyn, my wife. Either way, it's wonderful. Try it. Go on. Just say, my husband, Anthony. Anthony, my husband.
My husband, Anthony. Anthony, my husband.
Whom I love very dearly.
Whom I love very dearly.
Thank you, my dear. Well, now that we're getting reacquainted, I better skip upstairs and shave, so the next kiss will be a little smoother.
Oh, but Anthony, I didn't tell you about...
Tell me later, darling, when the lights are out and we're all snuggly.
Oh, Anthony... Well, darn it, I tried.
Hello?
Hello, Paul.
Yes, Carolyn. What did he say when you told him?
Nothing. I didn't tell him.
Why not?
I can't. Paul, won't you tell him?
Me? Why, I hardly know the man. It's hard enough to tell your best friend you want to marry his wife. But it's it's practically impossible to tell a stranger.
Well, I don't see why. If you can tell your best friend...
My best friend's a lousy shot.
Oh. Well, I can't tell him either. As long as nobody can tell him, the only solution is just to go away.
Say, are you calling from the house?
Yes, but don't worry. Anthony's gone upstairs to shave.
Well, don't you have an extension on the phone upstairs?
Oh, yes, but Anthony wouldn't listen in. He's the soul of honor.
What's she saying?
She just told him I wouldn't eavesdrop, said I was the soul of honor. They're planning to run away together. Tonight, he's going to get on the train at West Palm Beach at 9 o'clock. She's going to get on the same train at Hobe Sound at 9:30.
How's she going to get away?
She's going to tell us that she's going out for a bridge game this evening, and then she'll drive to Hobe Sound.
Go on, go on.
She hung up.
What are we going to do? How can we stop her from running away with Paul?
We are not going to stop her.
You mean you're going to let her get on that train at Hobe Sound?
That's just what I mean.
But if...
Wait, I have a plan.
Hello?
Jenkins, I want you to be in front of Mr. Paul Martindale's house at 8:10 tonight.
Yes, sir.
Anthony, would you mind explaining that strange order?
Not at all. At 8:10 tonight, I'm going over to Paul's to make sure that Jenkins drives him to the station.
What? You mean that...
Yes, I'm going to furnish the car and chauffeur for the man who's running away with my wife.
But why?
Why not? If Caroline doesn't go through with it, I've lost nothing by furnishing the transportation.
And if she does?
I don't think she will. But if I'm wrong, soon Martindale will be on the same merry-go-round that I've been on. And I'll have one satisfaction.
What's that?
I can always say I drove him to it.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in just a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
What can be more convincing than the proof you see with your own eyes, feel with your own fingers? And that's exactly the proof I offer you in the patch test. Proof that Lady Esther face cream does more for your skin in one application than any cream you've ever used. The patch test takes only 30 seconds. You just rub Lady Esther face cream on one patch of skin, like one cheek. Wipe it off, then see how much fresher that patch of skin looks. Feel how much softer it is to your fingers. Now, I don't ask you to take my word for a thing. All I ask you to do is let one application of Lady Esther face cream either prove or disprove every claim I make for it. I ask you to see the results you get at once, not a week or a month from now, but after the very first application. You see, Lady Esther face cream is different, because this one cream alone does the four most important things your skin needs. First, it thoroughly cleans your skin. Second, it softens your skin, loosens and absorbs the dry flakes. Third, it helps nature refine the pores. And fourth, it leaves a smooth, perfect base for powder. Now, please don't go out and buy a large jar of Lady Esther face cream. The smallest size jar is all you need to make the patch test. All you need to see for yourself that Lady Esther four-purpose face cream does things for your skin that no other face cream has ever done before. And the patch test proves it.
And now, Lady Esther presents the second act of My Life with Carolyn, starring Alan Jocelyn, Mary Astor, and Brian Ahern.
Excuse me, Mr. Bradley. Do you mind if I take over here?
Well...
after all, it's my story, isn't it? It was I who cured Caroline of her romantic failings. It was I who let her go unmolested to Hobe Sound. And it was I who sent my chauffeur, Jenkins, over to wait in front of Paul Martindale's house and drive him to the station. It was also I who went to call on Paul that evening to make sure he would go with Jenkins.
That's me knocking at his front door.
Mr. Paul Martindale at home?
No, sir, I'm afraid he's not.
Oh, I'm sorry to contradict you, but if you go into the living room, I think you'll find him looking out of the window.
Oh, in that case, please follow me, sir. Mr. Anthony Mason to see you, Mr. Martindale.
Tell him I'm not in.
Oh, well, what do you say we have a little chat until you come back?
Now, look, I...
You surprised to see me?
No, that is, no.
Well, lovely little place you have here. Aha, what's this I see before me? A dagger?
Huh? Oh, yes, I got that in Mexico. It's very old.
Aha, intriguing, isn't it?
Yes, very.
Yes, I wonder what stories it could tell. Revenge, unjealous husbands, and unfaithful wives. Here, what's written on it?
Well, it's in Spanish.
Could you translate it for me?
Well, it says, do not draw me except to avenge your honor. Do not replace me except with satisfaction.
How very right. As a weapon of revenge, the revolver is a poor substitute for the dagger. Don't you think?
No, that is, I really hadn't given it much thought.
But you should.
I should.
Why, certainly a man who's engaged to a married woman needs to consider every angle.
He does?
Yes. Have you ever thought of suicide?
Well, no. Should I?
By all means. It might save you from getting killed. Oh, by the way, does the husband know yet that you intend to marry his wife?
I don't know.
He probably does. Those are difficult secrets to keep.
But nobody could tell him.
No. I really ought to explain my presence here, Paul. Carolyn has gone...
Mr. Mason, I don't know what you think, but it isn't true.
She's gone out for the evening. What I was going to say was that since she's gone out and we're neighbors, I thought I'd make a friendly call. Perhaps you'd offer me a drink.
Look, Mason, I'm awfully sorry, but I have to tear myself away. As a matter of fact, my train...
Train? Oh, why didn't you tell me, my dear fellow? I might have made you miss it. What time does it leave?
9 o'clock, from West Palm Beach.
9 o'clock? Good heavens, man, you'll never make it.
Why not?
It's 9:15 now. Why, you'll have to get on at Hope Sound.
No, I couldn't do that.
Oh, why, certainly you can. Lots of people get on the train at Hope Sound. My chauffeur's outside. I'll have him drive you there.
No.
Oh, yes, I will. Why, it's the neighborly thing to do. What's your man's name?
Muirhead.
Muirhead.
Yes, sir?
My chauffeur is driving Mr. Martindale to the station, Muirhead. Put his bags in my car and send my chauffeur in. You know?
But, Mason, you...
Oh, now, do as I say, Muirhead.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm glad I thought of dropping over here tonight, Paul. It gives me an opportunity to kill... a little time... Now, why didn't he wait till I'd finished my sentence?
You wanted me, Mr. Mason?
Yes, Jenkins. Did the butler throw Mr. Martindale's bags in my car?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, you throw Mr. Martindale in.
Yes, sir.
You are driving Mr. Martindale to the train at Hope Sound, Jenkins.
Yes, sir.
And you'd better miss it, or I'll break your neck. Yes?
Jenkins speaking, Mr. Mason.
Did Mr. Martindale miss his train?
Yes, sir. I just took him home, sir. Oh, alone.
Thanks, Jenkins. That's all for tonight.
What'd he say?
Paul's home again.
With or without Carolyn?
Without. By now, of course, Carolyn has gotten off the train at the next stop after Hope Sound and is on her way back to town. Well, I'd better hurry over to Paul's house or I'll miss the fun when she arrives.
But Carolyn won't go to Paul's.
Oh, yes, she will. She's sure to think he's dead and she'll go over to check up.
Why should she think he's dead?
My dear father-in-law, when a man persuades a woman to leave home for him, there's only one explanation if he isn't on the train. And that is that he's dead. At least that's what Carolyn will tell Paul.
Paul, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. You're still alive.
Well, of course I'm still alive. I can explain.
There's nothing to explain. When a man persuades a woman to leave home for him, there's only one explanation if he isn't on the train. He's dead.
Oh, but that's ridiculous. I'm not dead.
You are to me.
Oh, Carolyn, you must let me tell you what happened.
I will not. Were you on the train?
Well, no.
But are you... And are you dead?
No.
Well, then, there isn't any explanation.
Yes, there is. Your husband was here.
Anthony?
Don't tell me you have another husband.
Well, does he know about us, about tonight?
No, no, not a thing.
Oh, thank heaven.
Yes, he swallowed the bridge party story. He just dropped in for a drink. I couldn't break away without rousing his suspicions until it was too late to catch the train at West Palm Beach.
But you could have driven to Hope Sound.
I did, in Anthony's car. It broke down.
What?
Jenkins couldn't get us started again till 9:35. It was too late to catch the train, so we turned around and drove home.
Well, what are we going to do now?
Well, darling, tomorrow's another day. We'll try again.
All right. You know, in a way, I'm rather glad we didn't succeed tonight. Anthony's so, he roused my curiosity this afternoon.
Oh, about what?
I don't know. He's going to tell me when the lights are out.
Carolyn! You're not going to spend the night under the same roof with your husband.
Well, I guess I shouldn't.
Certainly not.
But darn it, I can't resist him. He can always rouse my curiosity.
Oh, but Carolyn.
I beg pardon, sir.
Get out, Muirhead. I'm about to tell Mrs. Mason something that's very important.
Begging your pardon, sir, but I'm about to tell you something very important.
Well, hurry up. What is it?
Mr. Mason is here to see you, sir.
What?
Oh! There he goes again. Muirhead, would you mind taking Mr. Martindale's head out of the ashtray?
Certainly, madam.
Well. Apparently, I arrived just in time to do a little heavy lifting.
I can explain everything, Anthony.
Explain what? Now, wait till I get Paul on the couch. There, now. How do you feel now, Paul?
Terrible.
Why, my goodness, your hair has turned gray just like that. What did it? Worry?
No, cigar ashes.
Well, Paul, thanks for keeping my wife company. We'd better go home now, hadn't we, darling?
I guess we had. I'll call you in the morning, Paul.
No, you won't.
Why not?
Because you're not leaving here. Mason, I might as well tell you, I love Carolyn.
Well, that's very flattering.
Oh, Paul, keep still.
I won't keep still. I'm going to tell Anthony all about us. I'm going to tell him that you're the married woman I'm engaged to, and I'm going to tell him that we were going to run away together.
Only you missed the train.
Yes, only I missed the train. How did you know?
Anthony! Then you knew all about us?
Well, you
knew I was going to run away with Paul, and you didn't even try to stop me? Anthony Mason, you've just been playing cat and mouse with us.
Yes, what am I, a man or a mouse?
A mouse.
Carolyn.
I hate Anthony, but I despise you, letting him fool you into missing the train.
Oh, darling, you're getting awfully dramatic.
Oh, I don't care. I'd fallen in love with you all over again. When Paul didn't get on the train, I was glad. When you came in just now and were so sweet and dumb and unsuspecting, I felt terrible. I wanted to have you take me in your arms, and I was going to tell you everything. But now I hate you. I'm going home and pack my things and go away. I'm going to get a divorce.
Oh! Carolyn, what happened?
Oh, I fell down.
Oh, darling. Did you hurt yourself?
Yes.
Oh, darling, don't cry, please.
Oh, go away, I hate you.
I'm sorry. It was the last thing in the world I wanted you to do. It's just that I didn't think you were quite right about your feeling for Paul. I only wanted you to be very sure that you'd be happy.
How can I believe you? How can I believe anything you ever do or say again? How do I know you really love me?
Well, think, darling. Just think. This has been quite a bit of trouble, you know, and a lot of anxiety for me. Must have been a reason I thought the trouble was worth taking.
Oh, Anthony. Anthony?
Yes, dear?
What were you going to tell me tonight?
Ha-ha. I promised to tell you when the lights were out, and we were all snuggly.
Well, lights are all out at home, Anthony.
Are you cured of Paul?
I'm completely cured of all men except you, Anthony.
Ah, that's what I've been waiting to hear you say. Shall we go home and get snuggly?
That's what I've been waiting to hear you say.
And that, Mr. Bradley, is how I completely cured Carolyn of her interest in other men. I never have to worry when she's away from me on vacation now.
You sure?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, she's in Sun Valley now. I'm expecting a phone call from her any moment to tell me how much she loves me. Ah, here it is now. Hello.
Hello, Anthony. It's Carolyn.
Dearest, it's so good to hear you.
I got lonesome, Anthony, and decided to come home.
Oh? Where are you now?
At the airport. By the way, Anthony, I was just talking to our pilot. And do you know what he said?
What?
Well, he said he wants to marry me. He said that on foggy nights I could be his beacon.
And what did you say to that?
What could I say? Oh, Anthony, I'm on the beam again.
Oh.
And now he's fainted. Well, we're right back where we started, which is as good a place as any to finish. Music, maestro, please. Thank you, Brian Ahern, Alan Jocelyn, and Mary Astor, for a most delightful half hour.
Well, it was a pleasure to be here, Mr. Bradley. We know how much this radio program contributes to the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house. And we all feel it's a great privilege to share in that work. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Astor. Ladies, one word tells you all you need to know about Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder. And that word is radiance. There's no mistaking the radiance this new shade of face powder gives you. It's the radiance of a bride on her wedding day. A fresh, young look that I know men especially admire, for so many of them have commented to me about it. Bridal Pink has certain elusive qualities you won't find in any other shade of powder. It seems to wake up your entire appearance, make you look sparkling and alive. It gives new beauty and depth to your eyes. Many women say it even makes their features look smaller and daintier. It doesn't matter whether your hair is blonde, brunette, auburn, or brown. Lady Esther Bridal Pink is intensely flattering to almost every skin it touches. This powder isn't blended in the usual way. It's highly pulverized by the tremendous force of my patented hurricane machines. It's pulverized so fine, it feels light as a summer breeze on your skin. Yet it completely covers tiny lines and blemishes. And it clings hour after hour, always fresh and lovely, as though just applied. Decide right now to make a radiant transformation in your appearance. With a jar of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream and a box of Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder, you're ready to present a new face to the world.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present Model Wife. It will star Rod Cameron, Robert Page, and Martha O'Driscoll. Be sure to listen. Mary Astor appeared through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of Our Vines Have Tender Grapes. Brian Ahern will soon be seen on Broadway in the new play, The French Touch. Alan Jocelyn can now be seen in the 20th Century Fox production, Junior Miss. My Life with Carolyn was presented through the courtesy of RKO Radio Pictures and the United Producers Association. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So remember, ask for the largest size. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you, and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.